Welcome to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Sabrina Halverson. The Crop Consultant Conference was held recently at the Visalia Conference Center. Jesse Cantor with the UCCE Small Farms and Specialty Crops Program in Fresno County presented on cover crops. Here's part of her presentation.
So cover crops are planted to cover the soil rather than for the purpose of being harvested. And they help manage soil erosion, soil fertility, soil quality, water, weeds, pests, diseases, biodiversity, and wildlife. And so one thing I want to kind of ground us in as we talk about this is that cover crops are a practice that move towards achieving a principle or a set of principles. So you can see on the left some of the soil conservation principles, which include keeping soil covered, minimally disturbing soil, keeping a living cover throughout the year, and diversifying crop species. And then on the right, you see this whole list of practices that help us to achieve some of these principles. And so this is just to kind of, again, remind us all that cover cropping is one tool in our toolkit, but it's not necessarily a silver bullet when we talk about soil health. But it's a tool that I'm really excited about. And again, cover cropping is not a new practice. UC has been evaluating cover crops on and off since the 1920s. And so it's about how do we innovate it now into what the farming landscape looks like in California today. So when we talk about soil health and indicators of decline in soil health in California, there's not a lot of hard data on this, but if you've ever seen evidence of soil erosion from either water, wind, or mechanical tillage, this isn't good. And I think it's, again, just a reminder that how can we move into a space where we're keeping our soil covered? I think the statistic is in the last 150 years, we've lost about half of the topsoil on the planet as we've transitioned native vegetation into agriculture. And so just thinking about the cost that has on soil fertility decline. And California is actually much further behind than other regions in the U.S. when it comes to cover cropping. And again, a lot of this has to do with resource constraints. We don't get a lot of rain here, as you all know. And again, just intensive commercial production that has created these management systems to increase efficiency. And sometimes it can be harder to think about how we can fit something like cover crops into those systems. And this was from a recent survey done with 17 almond orchardists that they found the main barriers as cited by growers to cover cropping in California. And that includes concerns about water use, the incompatibility of cover crops with production schedules and equipment, cost of implementing cover crops, food safety requirements, lack of market support, an incomplete view of the true costs associated with not cover cropping.
That again was from the Crop Consultant Conference. For those in the tree nut industry, there's a conference coming up for you. Taylor has more on that in segment three today, but our news brief is up next. We will be right back.
Soil fumigation is a critical step to ensure that your orchard gets off to a good start. Trichlor is a pre-plant soil fumigant and is the foundation for a successful pest management system. Targeted pathogens include soil-borne disease and nematodes. Fumigation helps to create a healthy soil environment that allows the plant's root system to flourish. For more information about Trichlor or to schedule an application, contact Trical Incorporated at 669-327-5076 or visit www.trical.com.
Soil and Crop Incorporated is your number one resource for sustainable nutrition. Growers are faced with difficult challenges, and Soil and Crop Inc. has the experience, fertilizer, and biological portfolio to dramatically increase yield and performance in your troubled orchards and fields. Contact Soil and Crop Incorporated today for a free consultation on how we can help reverse the challenges you face as a conventional or organic grower so you can increase your bottom line and become a better sustainable farmer. Contact us today at 559-564-1236 or visit our website at www.callnrg.com. Soil and Crop, putting nature to work for you.
Welcome back. Here's your news brief for today. The Senate and the House passed a continuing resolution to fund federal agencies through December 3rd. The CR provides $10 billion in much-needed disaster relief for losses incurred by farmers and ranchers in 2020 and 2021. It also extends livestock mandatory reporting through December 3rd of this year. National Farmers Union President Rob LaRue says it's good news for family farmers and ranchers. President Biden's 30 by 30 plan of conserving 30% of the nation's lands and waters by 2030 has the attention of the Public Lands Council and its members who utilize our federal lands for livestock grazing. This week during its virtual annual meeting, PLC President Mike Rober from Colorado says making sure PLC is part of the discussion is a top priority.
Well, I think today, you know, reaffirmed what we've kind of said all along is that we need to be a part of the discussion and help guide the discussion. There's going to be things along the way that we'll say, well, we can maybe live with that. Things that we said, maybe not so much. And then things that we just say, oh, no. So that was kind of reaffirmed today. And I think we'll continue down that road. We're willing to be a part of the solution. We keep telling the administration that, and they really can't do it without us. And we want to keep reaffirming that, and hopefully we can help influence to where it minimizes the risk to producers as much as possible.
He says the dialogue between the ranchers and the state and federal officials on the 30 by 30 plan is critical in helping the PLC keep livestock on our federal lands.
Well, I think PLC has to be an active participant, if nothing else, is more of a mediation team, if nothing else beyond that, because each state has got different issues. Each district office has different issues, and it's hard to have a too broad a policy that just encompasses all as one. So I think we can help mediate and try and get to that to where the decisions become more local, and that's really where they need to be.
And even though there's a new wave of regulatory issues facing farmers and ranchers, he says there's a lot of optimism within the industry.
Well, I think the biggest thing I'm encouraged about is that there's still optimism in the industry, and that the permittees and PLC in general is optimistic about the future and will continue to work towards a goal of doing what's best for the land and the people. And it's easy when things look like they're going bad to take the negative route. And I think we've taken a positive route and continue to look for ways to make it better.
In other news, U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai will reveal the Biden administration's long-awaited strategy for moving forward with the U.S.-China trade relationship. Tai will discuss the troubled relationship during a speech at a Washington think tank. Since she first took office in March, Tai has been working through a complete review of Washington's trade policy with China. Stakeholders in the bison industry have joined forces to develop a research center studying specific issues with help from the USDA and a Farm Bill program. Rod Bain reports.
More focused research. That is the belief of Dave Carter regarding what is needed for his industry. As the executive director of the National Bison Association explains.
As we have built our business through the years, so much of the knowledge that we have on how to protect the herd health and the like has been just what ranchers are picking up on their own and sharing with other ranchers.
This ground level information has been supplemented so far by efforts such as that conducted at USDA Agricultural Research Service facilities.
We've been very fortunate that folks at ARS and the like have engaged in some projects on mycoplasma or malignant catarrhal fever to assist the bison business, but it's kind of been scattered around.
That resulted in bison industry representatives 5 years ago meeting with the then director of USDA's National Institute of Food and Agriculture to discuss the subject of more focused research for their sector.
And he said, what you folks ought to do is you ought to look at developing a center of excellence for bison.
The 2014 Farm Bill allows NIFA to identify centers of excellence for food and agriculture research, education, and extension, with the designation providing a specific grant application priority through the life of that designation. In 2019,
we had a subsequent meeting with South Dakota State University with some of their researchers and some of the folks from our association and related foundations.
which led to funding efforts and eventually last September, the formation of the Center for Excellence of Bison Studies, housed at South Dakota State. Christy Kamek is the director of the new center.
The center is really structured around having partners from various departments in the College of Ag, Food, and Environmental Sciences from SDSU, as well as bison people in the industry, as well as partners in the Native communities and tribal colleges. And so we'll work together to really decide what areas of research are important to the bison industry coming up, and then we'll develop research proposal requests that will go out to the whole community, the scientific community, and then people will apply for these dollars and hopefully start completing some really sound research that's important and necessary for the bison community.
The center in June announced its first 8 funding awards for research. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The Senate voted 50-45 to approve the nomination of Tracy Stone Manning as director of the Bureau of Land Management. The Montana resident takes over a department that manages about 12% of the total land mass in the U.S. What's ahead for the pork sector in the next year? Gary Crawford has this report.
Back on September 20th, about 4 days before USDA released its latest quarterly hog and pig inventory report, the director of the Livestock Marketing Information Center, Caitlin McCulloch, told an audience in Kansas City that for the hog industry in 2022,
profit margin we're expecting to be a little bit worse. We have commercial production and slaughter up about less than 1%, a little bit of a pullback in prices after the great prices we saw in 2021, and a little bit smaller exports as well.
Meanwhile, almost every number in USDA's latest hog and pig inventory report is down. The June through August pig crop, 33.9 million head, down 6% from a year ago. Remember, of course, last year was a crazy year because of COVID. The USDA report has the September 1st breeding inventory down 2%, market hog inventory down 4%, and the inventory of all hogs and pigs at 75.4 million head, also down 4%. Agriculture Department livestock analyst Shale Shagham says producers during this fall quarter intend to have 4% fewer sows farrow than a year ago. And that would line up with Caitlin's idea that hog producers may not be very optimistic about the future. However, Shale Shagham told us that after looking at what producers said about farrowings in this upcoming winter quarter,
there appears to be some optimism for late 2021 and into early 2022 in terms of their intentions to expand production.
Because producers told USDA they intend to boost farrowings by 1% in the winter quarter. But meanwhile,
we are looking at relatively tight supplies. In fact, we are looking at tighter current supplies than industry analysts were expecting, which is going to probably be supportive to some of the futures prices going forward. I mean, we are looking at, initially tighter supplies and some very measured growth potentially going into next year.
USDA has been forecasting pork production next year to top this year by about 1.5%, but prices to fall by about 19%. Now, Shale Shagham says USDA analysts are going to be reevaluating the hog situation for their next round of supply and demand forecasts, which will be out October 12th. This is Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
The U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C. ruled a lawsuit brought by independent ranchers who say the beef checkoff program threatens their livelihood can go forward. The court's opinion denied a motion to dismiss by the USDA, writing that the ranchers have successfully alleged that they have associational standing to challenge USDA's practices. That's your news for today. Taylor's up next. We'll be right back.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
Hi, welcome to My Ag Life. Today we're talking with Jason Scott, CEO and publisher of West Coast Nut Magazine and JCS Marketing Incorporated, about the upcoming California Tree Nut Conference on November 3rd. This conference will bring growers together with industry leaders from across all the nut commodities and also provide valuable continuing education credits on important production practices. Welcome, Jason.
Hey, Taylor, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. It's great to be back for another conference this year. Jason, I want to ask you first off, you know, let's talk about the tree nut industry leaders and executives who will be participating in the conference panel on the state and future of the industry. Can you tell us who will be joining the conference for that? And what can you tell us about this really rare opportunity for the industry?
Yeah, so we're excited. We've invited back all the industry tree nut leader executives to join us on a panel. And so we have Richard Waycott, who is the executive for the California Almond Board. And then we have Michelle Connolly, who is the executive for the walnut industry. Richard Matoyan, who is the executive for the American Pistachio Growers Association, and Mark Hendrickson, who is in charge of California Pecan Growers Association. So we're bringing all the top executives together and doing something that is original and unique in our industry, is we're bringing them all under one roof at the same time, and we're asking them questions together on this kind of united front with an audience of mixed industry professionals from all the different commodities I just mentioned. And so really unique opportunity to see kind of the movers and shakers in one place, have a chance to see me ask questions, have a chance as a grower or as a industry professional crop consultant to ask them questions as well in a live session. And so we're really excited about that. And I think that's something unique that this conference provides that you can't get anywhere else.
Definitely. And I'm sure there's also going to be opportunities at some point while they're present at the conference for growers to network with those executives as well.
Absolutely. We have a large trade show, which they'll be around. They'll stick around. So for a time, so you should be able to catch them throughout the day and during the event.
Jason, another important guest that I wanted to bring up that will be present at the conference is California Secretary of Agriculture, Karen Ross. And she'll kind of be talking about the California Department of Food and Agriculture's priorities for the tree nut industry. How substantial is it to have Karen Ross at this conference?
Oh, we feel like it's pretty important and a substantial opportunity for us to hear from our state leadership and, you know, kind of have a chance to kind of ask her the hard questions and to see where her mind's at. And so I would encourage everybody in the California tree nut industry to attend this conference, because it gives you a good perspective of how the state sees some of the key topics that we're facing as an industry. And I think that's invaluable as the publisher of West Coast Nut, and a fabulous opportunity, and want to just really encourage folks between Karen and the executives. This is really a top-down meeting. And so if you're a mover and shaker in the industry you want to know what's happening and you want to be part of the process and part of the decisions, this is where Tree Nut Ag Insiders meet in November to discuss top issues for the tree nut industry.
We're going to be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Soil and Crop Incorporated is your number one resource for sustainable nutrition. Growers are faced with difficult challenges, and Soil and Crop Inc. has the experience, fertilizer, and biological portfolio to dramatically increase yield and performance in your troubled orchards and fields. Contact Soil and Crop Incorporated today for a free consultation on how we can help reverse the challenges you face as a conventional or organic grower so you can increase your bottom line and become a better sustainable farmer. Contact us today at 559-564-1236 or visit our website at www.callnrg.com. Soil and Crop, putting nature to work for you.
Jason, the tree nut industry has seen an interesting course of events over the last year, some encouraging and some quite tumultuous, I would say. You know, how do you really see the state of the tree nut industry currently as, you know, COVID's starting to wind down here? And how can conferences like these improve it for the future?
Well, Taylor, if I had a dime for every time I was asked to pull out my magic crystal ball on the tree nut industry, I would be able to retire by now. When I got into this industry over 15 years ago, we thought that we hit a glass ceiling and that the tree nut industry was going to, the bubble was going to burst. Here I am 15 years later. We're still growing globally as a tree nut industry in California. Product is able to be dispensed all over the world. It's a very portable product. So it's got a lot of versatility, a good shelf life. So I think really the sky's the limits for the tree nut industry. You're right. We have seen some peaks and valleys. Water continues to be a big issue for us, one of the main issues, which we will be covering at the conference on how to better address our water situation with being better stewards of irrigation. I don't think by any means, I mean, every time I turn around, I hear stories about new acres going in, growers continuing to choose tree nut commodities as their go-to crop for their farms. And so I still think there's a lot of potential. We're seeing a lot of growth in the pistachio industry currently. We've got a lot of work to do on prices for all the commodities, but I think we still have some great days ahead of us if we can figure this water thing out and we can become better stewards about how we manage our orchards and be more effective in our timing and in our planning and in our execution of chemicals, fertilizers, and irrigation. Yeah. By utilizing technologies, by the way, technology is it's the future of our industry. It's where we need to go next. It's how we're going to be able to survive this new world of regulations and difficult farming decisions. So technology is a big part of the future of California agriculture, and just another reason to come to the show and network with all these great companies that are going to have new technologies and innovations on the trade show floor. And they have important information and expertise that they can help you with in making critical decisions for your orchards.
I would 100% agree with that sentiment about technology, specifically that within precision agriculture. And just like you said, a lot of those companies that will be present at the trade show will be showcasing some of their technologies or programs or software, whatever, that have to deal with precision agriculture really is the future of the industry. So thank you for bringing that up. I want to get your take on this, though. You know, how beneficial is it to have all of the major nut crops represented, walnuts, almonds, pistachios, pecans?
Well, I think, I think at the top of my mind, when you ask that question, I really think that this is a unique opportunity, number one. It's a unique opportunity to see us together as an industry, to see what's in common, to learn from each other. Obviously, not everything for every tree nut is the same. We have our own unique aspects of growing, but we have a lot in common. And I think bringing those commonalities to the table and learning from each other and driving from what's worked, what hasn't, is valuable to us as an industry. And so being able to come together, and a lot of our growers that and subscribers at West Coast Nut are diversified growers. These are growers that have acres of almonds, walnuts, and pistachios in their utility belt of crops that they manage and they have stewardships over. And so being able to come as a diversified grower and to hear from all the leaders is a key opportunity throughout the year and a unique one that they won't get anywhere else. So I think it's really critical that if you're in the tree nut industry, that you come to this conference, that you learn more about your own commodity and you learn about the other commodities, because maybe you're an almond grower today, but maybe tomorrow you want to diversify with another tree nut crop.
Definitely. I like that there. And there's a lot of incentives, to come to this conference, not only learning about all the major nut commodities, you're getting the continuing education credits as well. It's also free to attend, which is a big one. So a lot of reasons to come to the conference there, Jason.
Yeah, it's a great venue. It grows every year. If you're in the industry, you know, you need to join the, we're closing in on probably 1,000 attendees. So it's a great opportunity, to join other ag professionals. The trade show grows every year. We have a free industry lunch. The event itself is free. You're right. We are jam-packed of great information and education. Plenty of people to network with. And so really, if you're in the tree nut industry, there's no excuses. The only place to be on November 3rd is the California Tree Nut Conference in Tulare. So look forward to seeing you there. Look forward to seeing all my friends and growers and crop consultants, and looking forward to having another year together and moving the industry forward.
Definitely. Well, Jason, one thing we haven't covered yet and our agenda is about to go out, and we've talked about some of the panels already, is what some of the featured panels will be at the conference. We talked about the ones with the executives and the one with Karen Ross on it, but can you tell us a little bit about some of the other panels that will be available to growers at the conference?
Yeah, so I guess I'll start out with, we've got the, like I mentioned earlier, we've got an irrigation technology and automating seminar going on for monitoring systems and tree crops. We have a great talk on nematode and how to manage that in tree nut crops. We will have a new technologies talk for monitoring and managing insect pests. And then during our break and trade show, we'll have a post-harvest nutrition demonstration and other demonstrations and information for chemicals, fertilizers, irrigation technologies, new varieties. So there'll be a huge variety of vendors to network with and to get information that will have demonstrations on hand. There'll be prizes, there'll be food, beverages. So just a great opportunity to learn something new and to hear about critical information for our industry.
Well, Jason, that about wraps it up, but I just want to ask you one more thing. You know, is there anything else that you can think of off the top of your head that growers can look forward to with this conference?
I think we pretty much covered it. The doors open at 7 a.m. So be there early, so you have plenty of time to network and to see old friends. So the doors open at 7 a.m. You can register at our website at wcngg.com, and then you'll go to the California Tree Nut Conference and you can register, let us know so we know you're coming and we can plan for you for our industry lunch. Just want to encourage everybody, all my subscribers to attend, make it a day. We'll have, if you go online, we'll have a host hotel if you're traveling, that you could stay over. So we'll make it really, really as painless and as easy as possible for you to attend this event and have a great time. So make sure that you go to our website. Again, that's wcngg.com, and register today and join other Ag Insiders for this must-attend conference.
Perfect. And Jason, will you remind us where the conference is taking place this year?
Yes. California Tree Nut Conference is in Tulare, California, at the Tulare County Fairgrounds. And if you go online, you can see the exact address, and make sure you download the My Ag Life app for all the your updates, and so you can stay in the know and you get all the information you need for this conference. You can download the app on any mobile device, whether you have an app an Apple or a PC so the app's good for just about any mobile device that folks own these days.
All right, perfect. Well, thank you, Jason, for coming on and informing us about the conference this year. It should be a great one, and we look forward to seeing everyone there on November 3rd in Tulare.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you. This is Taylor with My Ag Life.
Don't let your soils become tainted and unproductive from excess salts. Take care of your crops while caring for your soil. Cation X5 Plus by AgroPlanté is a soil conditioner meant to maximize water penetration by combating harmful salts in the soil, which can injure your crops and bottom line. Cation X5 Plus also corrects sulfur and calcium plant deficiencies. AgroPlanté wants to help you grow your crop. Contact us today to find out more at 559-498-0388 or visit us at www.agroplanté.com.
Agro Miura Nursery is the premier nursery in California. Whether it's almonds, walnuts, pistachios, prunes, or olives, Agro Miura has been the grower's source for over 20 years and is the home of Root Pack R Almond, Grizzly Walnut, and the North American plants UCB1 and Platinum Clonal Pistachio Rootstocks. As the worldwide leader in super high-density almonds, olives, and prunes, Agro Miura can show you how to cut costs and increase yields with their super high-density rootstock Root Pack 20. For more information or to schedule a site visit, contact a representative at 530-812-3398 today. The California Walnut Board and Commission provides value to the California walnut industry by working together with growers and handlers to advance the industry. Together, the California Walnut Board and Commission are helping to protect, develop, and grow California walnuts domestically and internationally. The California Walnut Board provides funding and strategic direction on walnut production and post-harvest research designed to help support the industry and promote California walnuts. To learn more, visit our website at walnuts.org. Together we grow.
With several in the farm, food, and forest sectors experiencing economic challenges related to the COVID-19 pandemic, the Agriculture Department offers aid through various and specific programs. Rod Bain looks at some of those offerings within the suite of pandemic relief and recovery programs in this edition of Agriculture USA.
The economic impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic have been pronounced in several sectors of the economy, including agriculture and natural resources like timber. Not only has businesses experienced challenges, as Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack points out, so has individual employees and workers whose jobs have been deemed essential.
I think it's important that we recognize that doing this essential work has also come not only at a potential physical risk, but also at a financial risk.
To that end, the Agriculture Department has rolled out a series of pandemic relief and recovery programs covering the wide spectrum of farm, food, and forestry. I'm Rod Bain. And coming up, a look at some of the relief related to pandemic economic impacts in this edition of Agriculture USA. Well over a year after the COVID-19 pandemic and its economic impacts first took hold of our nation's industries and businesses, relief and recovery remain needed in several regards. Part of federal efforts to aid include recently announced programs and offerings from the Agriculture Department, specifically focused on pandemic-oriented economic recovery. The first of these offerings were announced in July.
Pandemic Livestock Indemnity Program will pay an eligible producer up to 80% of the fair market value of an animal they had to depopulate because of a lack of slaughtering facility or processing facility.
With Farm Service Agency Administrator Zach Ducheneau noting the deadline for sign-up of this new program was recently extended to October 12th. Also announced 2 months ago was a pandemic assistance program for timber harvester and haulers, giving them a PATH, spelled P-A-T-H-H in the program's acronym form, to some financial relief. That according to Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack.
The first payment will be $2,000, and then we'll see where we are relative to the $200 million. And then a second round of payments will be made following that.
The deadline for application for the PATH program is also coming up in October. The 15th, the last day to sign up. Then pandemic economic assistance was announced in August for our nation's dairy producers. Actually, several pandemic-related programs for the dairy industry. One of those described by Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs Jenny Moffitt is the Pandemic Market Volatility Assistance Program.
Through the program, USDA will provide about $350 million in payments to dairy farmers who received a lower value for their products due to market abnormalities caused by the pandemic.
It has not just been farm, food, and forest industries that have received focus on pandemic economic recovery efforts. Programs have been announced to assist workers within these sectors with a twofold purpose: provide financial relief from pandemic-caused situations and boost safety at their work sites. The Food and Farm Workers Relief Grant Program sets aside $700 million for pandemic-related health and safety costs for its ag, food processing, and frontline grocery store workers. Secretary Vilsack says state, tribal, and nonprofit entities can apply for grants that would in turn assist
entities that were providing personal protective equipment, such as masks, to ag and food workers, or entities that were hosting a vaccine clinic or an outreach campaign to encourage vaccination, or an entity that was providing financial support during COVID-19.
Another $700 million grant offering focused on providing resources to entities who had yet received substantial federal funding in responding to the pandemic. Entities such as small producers, processors, distributors, farmers markets, and seafood processing vessels. Undersecretary Jenny Moffitt says pandemic response and safety and seafood PRS grants
will cover the activities such as implementing workplace safety measures, purchasing personal protective equipment, and then also implementing market pivots such as developing online platforms. It can cover things like retrofitting facilities, cover costs that might have been involved in future involved in providing additional transportation options.
In addition to these and several other pandemic relief efforts, USDA also announced expansion of its coronavirus food assistance program, too, to include contract producers of eligible livestock and poultry and producers of specialty crops and other sale-based commodities. The deadline for new or modified applications for CFAP 2 is also approaching. More information about the several pandemic-related assistance programs for producers and workers can be found at this web address: www.farmers.gov/coronavirus/pandemic-assistance. This has been Agriculture USA. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
That's our show for today. This is the My Ag Life Daily News Report from the JCS Marketing Team. Thanks for listening.